these five teenagers basically said that they watch 1 or 2 hours of TV a week. A week. And that TV is TiVo'd. So guess what? Your TV ads are not reaching that person.
This is PodTech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and I'm here with Guy Kawasaki in his house. He was very dear to invite me into his house. He and I have been friends for a long time, and I used to be on the board of Garage probably 7 years ago, but I am really excited to talk to Guy, not about his venture business and his success as a venture capitalist, but to really engage him in marketing, because I see him as a marketing wizard, and I really wanted to share his thoughts on marketing and social media with all the listeners of Marketing Voices. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
First question.
Yes.
So what do you think is the impact of what I call social media on marketing? You know, as we were talking before the interview, I said he might not even have thought about this before, but he's a really brilliant guy. So I thought, okay, just hit me with your best shot. So.
Well, I'll let you define it first, so okay. We make sure we're talking about the same thing.
Okay, so social media to me, even though this is a term that we bat around a lot of PodTech about, what does it mean? It's blogs, wikis, podcasts. It's literally everything that's sort of web 3.0 today that people are doing, that maybe the community forums of the old.
Mm-hmm.
It's really
all that.
Communicating socially.
So
go ahead.
I think you have to go back to... back when maybe monks were transcribing knowledge, and then there was this revolution called the printing press, which democratized information, and then there was this revolution called desktop publishing, which democratized information. So we went from having to be the New York Times to, you know, Jennifer Jones could publish the Silicon Valley newsletter using PageMaker and Macintosh and a laser printer. But still, it required Jennifer having the Macintosh laser printer and all that. And now we're just one more step beyond, which is Jennifer with, I hope, a Macintosh, but any computer can blog and reach, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds or thousands or millions of people with a blog, with a podcast, with a forum, whatever it is. So it's just this inexorable march towards the democratization of information.
So how do you think it will affect marketing? I mean, again, you're a marketing wizard. Again, I know you've done a lot since working with you at Apple and all this.
I actually think, you know, in particular, I understand evangelism, and evangelism is about bringing the good news and selling people on a dream. And the whole internet, the whole democratization of information has been made much, much easier with this social network, internet, all that. To some people, it's much scarier, because before, you basically took $20 million and you bought some TV and some magazines and Super Bowl ad and you let it rip, right? And it's expensive, but it was easy, you know, reps from advertising places sucked up to you, and you know, you got a nice tent at the Super Bowl, life was easy. And now, you know, if you're Coca-Cola and you didn't even do anything, and there's this thing about Diet Coke and Mentos, I don't know, if you're Coca-Cola, do you say, wow, that is the greatest thing? You know, we don't care if people drink Diet Coke, as long as they buy Diet Coke,
let them
shoot it up.
Right,
what do we care, right?
Right.
Or do you say, oh my God, you know, we're Coca-Cola, we're a drink, and we want to be drunken. On the other hand, if I were Mentos, I mean, it would be interesting to know what percentage of Mentos is actually eaten anymore. And so if your Diet Coke and Mentos, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Well, from my standpoint, it's a great thing.
Right.
You know, if I were Coke, man,
sort of what we were talking about earlier. I agree with you. It's not about control anymore. It's all about transparency. And you just have to accept that you're going to get the good with the bad, in the sense of you can't control the, you know,
right. They
might think of that as bad PR, good PR. I would hope that they're sort of more sophisticated and think of it as good. So
I doubt it, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, good in the sense, to your point, that it kind of takes on like a life in the world of the internet and says, hey, this is a product that's sort of fun. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's how I'd interpret it. But okay, so you're a CMO at a company that your CEO is really afraid to be as transparent as we're talking about.
Okay.
How do you? I mean, you had Steve Jobs to work with, but how do you get a CEO there? How do you get him? Excuse me, I'm losing my voice.
My first advice would be quit. Because, I mean, seriously, if it's a CEO who's still stuck on CPM, you know, print advertising, their idea of PR is let's have a press announcement at a New York hotel with $100,000 worth of shrimp and white wine, and our rollout consists of media buys in TV, radio, and magazines. I would say quit.
Okay, so they're not going to quit. Let's say they need the job. They got a mortgage pay. So, you know, come on.
You know, okay,
they can't quit.
Okay. So then let's hope that CEO, he or she, has kids.
Because, that's correct.
Because hopefully the kid will take in their mobile phone and their Macintosh or their laptop or something and show mom or dad that, you know what, guess what? I did a panel for Churchill Club, and we had five teenagers. Now, it wasn't a random selection. It was five rich teenagers from Silicon Valley, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this broadens out.
Right.
But these five teenagers basically said that they watch 1 or 2 hours of TV a week. A week. And that TV is TiVo'd. So guess what? Your TV ads are not reaching that person.
Right.
They also said they send 1,400 text messages a month.
1,400 a month?
A month.
Wow.
1,400 text messages
wow.
a month.
Wow.
They use email really for sort of point to point, but mostly they're doing text messaging, okay? And they don't like being advertised to directly. They know that, you know, everybody wants to get to them. It's more like they see that someone on a favorite show, you know, that maybe they watch 24 and they see Jack Bauer has a kind of watch. That is probably more effective than, you know, an ad for the watch.
Right.
And so I came away from that panel thinking, oh my God, if I were an advertiser, you're telling me I can't get them on TV? There was one piece of good news, which was they said the way they buy things is they read paper-based magazines, 17, you know, whatever it is.
Huh.
So they read about stuff in 17 magazines, then they go online to buy it. So the irony of all this will be that, you know, some advertisers figuring out they shouldn't be in 17 magazine anymore. We need to be pure digital. We need to be, you know, an ad on a singular wireless text message, you know, something.
Right,
but
right.
The irony is they're reading 17, then they're buying it online.
Right.
And so it was a very scary panel for many people.
Scary because they realized they were out of touch with kind of how it was done.
Well,
and it kind of just that, how do you reach these people?
Yeah,
it's like
basically they were saying there was no way to reach them. You can't reach me through TV because I'm only watching a couple hours and it's TiVo'd. You can't reach me on the internet because I don't like stuff pushed at me. You know, no, I don't. I've learned to. What
so
is that?
Kids,
what is that? I've learned. This is a real life podcast.
Very good. This is good. This is what it's all about.
I've learned to ignore banner ads. I've learned to ignore. You know, I can look at a website and completely not even see the ads anymore. So you can't reach me with skyscrapers and banners. You can't reach me with TV. All the news I get is from going online. So, you know, where do you get to them?
So I bet it's your friends influence you. It's that whole word of mouth thing where they say, hey, guy, you got to go buy this product. It's really cool. It's people you respect.
Well, they won't say, hey, guy, because it's more, hey, Tiffany, and hey, you know, Biff, and hey, Courtney. Because, hey, guy, I'm not the target demographic anymore. Right?
Oh, I see, because we're still talking about kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah. So, yes, it's a very different and threatening world for them.
Okay, so it's interesting we're into this. So I'm going to lay something on you that I've been talking a lot about at PodTech, and that is that I agree with you that it is all about the kids. And I think the reason that transparency is all okay and that everything goes is because when you go on YouTube and you look at some of the stuff that these kids are putting on YouTube, everything goes. I mean, kids are, you know, just doing anything they want, saying anything they want to their friends, and they don't worry about it. So I think that that's why they're comfortable with then having blogs that expose everything, and you know, when they go out with their friends, they, you know, really talk about anything, and that's all part, and that's the transparency thing. So when they're 30 and they're in these companies as CMOs, it'll all be okay, because the CEOs will all be there. They'll say, hey, everybody, be blogging.
Basically, you know, I said quit, you say let them die. Right? I mean, basically, there needs to be a generation of change.
Yeah, no, I do think there does.
And so when all the current CEOs die.
Well, not died. It's like retire.
Whatever. Yeah, when they're gone.
Yeah.
It'll be a different world.
Yeah. No, I do. And like I said, when I see the younger CEOs who are, you know, meaning 28 to 35, they're sort of already there anyway. I mean, they almost don't understand it when people are afraid of the new social media. Or it's not even new, the social media. They don't get it.
Right.
And they get very frustrated. So I do think it will it will happen. Okay, so when is your next book coming out?
I haven't even written it yet. I'm barely outlining it. The problem is I get so much email and I'm so undisciplined. What I should do in terms of prioritizing my life is I should work on my book, then I should work on my blog, then I should answer email in that order. Guess what I do?
I bet you, do email first. And then
email first, blog second, book third.
Yeah.
So book third, by the time I spend 5 minutes a day on my book, and I spend 2 hours on email, and I spend 1 hour, 2 hours on blogging, there's not enough hours left.
You do spend that much time on blogging. But wait, the title, so give me some sense to your book, because that was one thing.
Okay,
I said
so
to people,
what I want
to
do.
You know, they all go, what's he going to do?
Okay, this is very, I don't know if I have the answer yet, but I want to write a book called How to Change the World. Okay. And I have Gladwell and Heath and Collins and Porras envy. Because I look at Blink and I look at
Tipping Point. Yeah.
And I love those books. Okay, I love those. It's very interesting. I love the social psychology they find and all that. But I still say to myself, okay, so I read Tipping Point. Now I know if I were Hush Puppies, I needed a tipping point. So let's say I'm CEO of some social media company. I need a tipping point. I learned that from the Tipping Point. The question is, what do I do to get the tipping point? And that book doesn't answer that. No book answers that.
Right.
Now, Made to Stick answers it. It says these are the 6 things that you need to do to be sticky, right? So what I want to do is I want to write a book called How to Change the World. And so I think many people have said the world needs to be changed. Okay, I want to write a book how to do it. The challenge I have is I sort of wrote that book already with The Art of the Start.
Yeah.
Because The Art of the Start said this is how you get finance, this is how you ship it, this is how you market it, all that. So I don't want to be accused of just repackaging Art of the Start, but I am what I am, and the subject is very similar. So I want to write a book that explains whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company or a mom running a PTA, this is how you can change the world.
Okay, so define changing the world to me. I mean, that's a pretty broad topic.
I want a lot of people to buy the book. it is. Now, I think people have to understand that there's a difference between changing the world and the thing you build has to be big. So, you know, Steve Jobs has changed the world, okay? But I would make the case that someone who started a new school or a new church has also changed the world. You don't know who that person is because that person isn't on the front of the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Chronicle and the Mercury every week. But that person has also changed the world. So I'm not saying this is only for megalomaniacs who want to build billion-dollar entities. I'm saying this is for literally anybody. It could be one blogger who wants to blog about spousal abuse, who gives hope to hundreds of, but not thousands, hundreds of spouses who have been abused. In my dictionary, that person has changed the world as much as Steve Jobs. So, you know, there are a lot fewer Steve Jobs in the world. I should focus more on him. So, no, Nick, you cannot practice the piano now, Nick. I'm in recording.
Yeah.
This is my son, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
So, no, the book is not positioned for only 500 people in the Fortune 500.
No, but it sounds very good, but no wonder you can't, like, get there, because that's a pretty broad topic. It's very hard to get.
And, you know, one of the dangers of naming it this, if I do end up naming it this, is that, you know, many, many reviews are going to start off with, what a pretentious title, he did not, you know, whatever. But that's why I renamed my blog, How to Change the World.
Yeah.
Because I want to build this brand equity for this phrase, How to Change the World. So by the time the book comes out, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and see, and that's good, because the brand is important. Okay, so question for you from Jeremiah in our office. He said, make sure you ask Guy this. And he wants to know, like, how do you monetize a blog?
It's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
This is because of a recent post. So what happens is I took my stats, and this is just like, this is a slice of my life, right? So I take 10 what I consider interesting stats about my blog. You know, page views, number of comments, advertising revenue, you know, 10 things, right? And basically 10 things that I thought were interesting. I wasn't trying, it's not like I'm Oliver Stone, okay? I'm not trying to, like, say this is a conspiracy against me, nobody's advertising on my blog. It's just 10 facts. One of those facts happened to be that I only made about $4,000 in advertising. That fact turns into something that I'm condemning AdSense. AdSense is no good for bloggers. Bloggers can never make money. It's like, you know, the end of the world of blogging. Guys, I just put up 10 facts.
I mean,
that's all I wanted to do. Now, I don't try very hard to sell advertising. I don't optimize my site for advertising. I don't really care about my advertising. Admittedly, if my blog could generate $500,000 of advertising, believe me, I would do it. It's not like I'm anti-money, okay? but it's not why I blog. But believe me, if there were $500,000 sitting there, I would pick it up. I guarantee you. Because quite frankly, there's $4,000 sitting there, and I picked it up. My logic is, if I'm generating all this stuff, I'm giving all this knowledge, and if, you know, just by falling off the dump truck, I can make $4,000, which pays for half of my hockey expenses every year, why not? Why should I not pick it off the floor? I tell you, if Bill Gates goes into 7-Eleven and he sees a 20 on the ground, I bet you he picks it up.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I think definitely you pick it up in fast. You
know? right. So, the way to monetize the blog is, because of the visibility of the blog, hopefully the next Larry and Sergey will come to Garage to get funding because they read my blog and they think I'm smart or honest or, you know, whatever they think. That's one way to monetize it. A second way to monetize it is with various advertising, you know, Amazon associates, whatever, all the nitty-gritty stuff that everybody does. And a third way to monetize my blog is I get many, many high-tech CEOs contact me asking me for advice. And I give them advice, but at some point I just cut it off. And I said, listen, I hate to tell you, but I'm not that good a person, all right? If you want continuous marketing advice, I need options. And lots of times they say yes.
Wow.
And so I get options in these companies. And so, you know, I get 0.5% or 1% of these companies. And if one of them turns into a Google, imagine if you had 1% of Google.
Wow.
So
that's very cool.
You know, this is my... And
that's the power of Guy.
That's why I spend 2 to 3 hours a day blogging, right? So I just need one.
Yeah.
And then all these people who say AdSense won't work, I'll say, yeah, but, you know, I got to tell you, the equity model works.
Right. I was going to say, there are probably a lot of people that are listening to this going, okay, I'm going to see if I can do that. But I think it takes a very unique person to be able to, like, have a lot of people give you options for that. Believe me, especially 1%.
So, well, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah,
and, you know, but I'm telling you, I'm drawing a line in the sand right now for this podcast.
Right.
You know, people are thinking, oh God, it's 1%. I don't want them to think it's, you know, 5,000 shares on 5 million authorized shares. That's, you know what I'm saying? It's not 500,000 shares. It's not.
People are taking notes. Yeah, they listen right now.
Maybe 50,000 shares, but it's not 5,000 shares. It's not a tenth of a percent. So
you heard it here first, everyone listening.
That's right. This is the new model for blogging. You build such credibility, people want to give you equity in their company. Right. That's the new model. Right. That is Web 4.0.
Right. That's very true. And on that note, we're going to have to stop because I know Guy. I know I'm very conscious of his time. So. I really thank you for all this time and coming into your house and having your
sorry about the
around.
Noise effects.
No,
effects.
It's great. It's very real and it's beautiful. And so where what's your URL of your blog so that
it is blog.guykawasaki.com.
Okay, so blog.guykawasaki.com. And thank you again for being on Marketing Voices. And this has been Jennifer Jones and with Guy Kawasaki. And for all of my listeners, until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.